to Bellingham Technical College's Money Smarts podcast. I'm your host, Matt Benoit. Each episode, we'll talk with BTC students, staff, community professionals, and financial experts about financial wellness and literacy, all to help listeners navigate resources in the community and empower themselves financially. Our guest today is Reed Frederick from Whatcom Educational Credit Union, better known as WEQ. So, Reed, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into your position at WEQ.
Well, I guess I'd start with my education. I studied international business with concentration in economics. And then I went down to Seattle, got a job in copier sales, decided that wasn't made for me. So then I came back up to Bellingham because I like Bellingham, and I wanted to get in on the ground floor of a company that I liked. And so I started as a teller at WEQ. I was a teller for just about 6 months. So interacted with a lot of people as they manage their money. And then I took a job as a loan officer. And so that gave a further depth. Every time you're doing a loan, you're looking at basically the financial situation of an individual or a family. And so that kind of gave you a glimpse into the world of personal finance. And then I took a job, which is now, I'm now titled Program Manager Community Impact. And one of the main tasks myself and my department do is being a resource in the community for financial education, financial wellness. And it's one of my favorite parts of my job.
So what do you love so much about your job, and what interests you about that kind of work?
I just believe in the importance of it, and I believe in helping people. So kind of at the nexus of that keeps me motivated. I think it is really hard to enjoy life if you don't have a good base of financial stability. It's hard to enjoy the good side of life if you are constantly stressed about money. It's kind of binary. You're either stressed about money, or you're able to enjoy, you know, company of friends and all the other things in life you enjoy. And so to help somebody move from that stressed state of mind and all the stresses that can come along with money and to a more of a mind frame where they can enjoy aspects of life, I think is absolutely a worthwhile pursuit.
Do you have any advice for students who are budgeting on a low income, or for students who will have to pay off their student loans?
Yeah. Well, first, I mean, I think sometimes when the whole idea of a budget comes up, maybe like the mental image that flies across your face is like the idea of being a pauper, or, you know, you're never going to have any kind of pleasure in life at all. And I think that prevents people from actually doing the work.
Yeah.
So I guess one of the first things I like to do is indicate two or three things that you really enjoy, that you can afford, but are non-negotiables, that are things that I'm going to find a way to pay for. Maybe it's going out to dinner once a week with friends. Maybe it's buying a good beer once a week. Maybe it's playing on a soccer team. Maybe it's a subscription to, you know, indicate those things that really, you know, have a little bit of self-reflection. Indicate those things that are really of value to you and you really want. And then find a way to make it work right for those things. And then as you move away and you've established that those are core things that I'm going to keep, it's a lot easier to negotiate on other things. Like, but I do need to start making coffee at home, or I do need to go to the library for some entertainment. You know, when you're negotiating with yourself from a position of I've given myself these things, I guess for me, when I started budgeting, it was like I really want to play recreational soccer, and I really want to be able to buy a six pack once a week, you know, of good beer. Huh? And from that kind of like, okay, I'm gonna allow myself that. It was much easier to negotiate on things that are kind of pleasures or maybe more frivolous, and I could cut down from that position of knowing that I got some stuff that I wanted. And so I think that's a really good point, is to give yourself some stuff. And then it's just a matter of recognizing that you're going to have to pay back everything. I think sometimes people use student loans to supplement their lifestyle, and really it should only be used to pay for those things, those school necessities, to the extent possible. So your goal, you know, to graduate with as little debt as possible, right. is a really good goal.
Those loans might seem like free money at the time, but they're definitely not.
Yeah. So you do have to have some forward perspective, but in the present, humans are definitely present minded things, and that's why I think giving yourself a little bit in the present, as I indicated earlier, is really important. But then operate the rest of your budget around, okay, I am doing this to better myself in the future, or give myself a better financial footing in the future. So you operate your budget around that fact, and you don't take on unnecessary debt.
With that in mind, it's obviously easy to have good intentions, but cultivating the proper habits to actually follow through on those intentions can be difficult. When you were in college, what was some financial advice you wish you could have given yourself?
You know, I believe in honesty at all costs, and I was actually pretty fortunate. My folks supported me through college. They paid for tuition. I had a job as well. I worked down at Anthony's on the waterfront. I'm not gonna make up some story. I drove a really stinky car, but I think the best thing that for me is that I owned it.
Right.
I never felt ashamed of the car I drove, or that I was a college student, or that and tried to live up as if I was somebody that was making $100,000 a year or whatever, you know.
Right.
I owned the fact I was a college student,
yeah,
and I lived that way, and I wasn't ashamed to tell anybody that I can't afford that right now because I'm a college student.
Right.
I think that can be kind of liberating to own it, and you can either make that something as a weapon against you, or just make it something like, no, that's part of me, and I don't have the money for another car right now.
Right.
And so you kind of take the power out of any perceived judgments around,
yeah,
that. But and then also, you know, I managed for whatever reason to live really cheaply. Lots of roommates.
Roommates and ramen.
Roommates and ramen. Yeah, you know, I even though I was supported well by my parents, I didn't for whatever reason. I think I was fortunate that my parents preached frugality all the way through childhood, and we often do what our parents teach us. So if my parents had taught me to be frivolous, I might have really, you know, been that way. So I think I was fortunate in that sense. But yeah. So I guess just owning the college lifestyle and knowing that that's my lot in life for a while, can be really helpful.
Focus on, instead of keeping up with the Joneses, because we're so prone to compare ourselves to others. It's just keep up with yourself. And
yeah. Comparisons, I think, are, especially in financial matters, there's actually studies around it where when people, if somebody were to plainly ask you, how are you doing financially? Well, most people don't really have a reference point for that. It's kind of like a vague, I think I'm doing okay. My bills are kind of paid. I have a little bit in savings, but do you have enough saved for retirement? Do you have enough for an emergency? Are you saving for your children? Anyways, people, they kind of go blank, and they don't really have a reference point if somebody were to plainly ask you how are your finances. And so what people tend to revert to, and this has been backed up by studies, is comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
So they compare themselves to their peers. Well, relative to my buddy, I'm doing worse. Shoot. Yeah. Relative to how I was doing 2 years ago when I had a really good paying job, I'm doing worse.
Mm-hmm.
Relative to some societal expectations that these commercials are telling me, I'm not doing very good.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have that kind of external reference point where you're constantly comparing and you don't know internally, you don't have an internal sense of I'm doing okay, because basically you don't understand your balance sheet. You don't understand, like, just, you know, how your bank account is. And if
right.
If you are doing okay, then you tend to fall on comparisons. And that's a really bad, not comfortable place to, you're always going to be making less money than somebody.
Right.
You're always going to be, there's always going to be commercials telling you that you should be, you deserve something more, or you should be driving this car. So I'm glad you brought up the idea of comparisons, because that is just a big thing for finances, and it's a really bad way to measure how you're doing with your finances.
Everyone makes a different amount of income, so relative to your monthly income, are there certain things that students should be doing, like setting aside a certain percentage of whatever they're making per month? Like, if someone doesn't have a savings account, do you recommend them doing that as soon as possible?
I really believe in the power of having what's typically called an emergency savings, which is usually defined as 3 to 6 months living expenses. If my living expenses are $2,000, then I would want to have $6,000 or $12,000. Really, even $1,000 is better than nothing, right? But to have an emergency savings, in emergencies, kind of, I think it's the wrong word. It should be called an eventuality savings, because things are going to come up.
Yeah.
You know, computer's going to go, car's going to break down. You're going to want to move out and break up with a girlfriend. And if you don't have some money stashed away, what are your alternatives, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be to stick it out in that relationship. It's not a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
It could be to go get a really bad loan. And so to get firm footing and to give yourself a sense of freedom and that comes with that eventuality savings, so you can leave a job that you hate, is so good for your spirit that I think that having that emergency saving is the first thing. So whatever you can put away to get to that 3 to 6 months living expenses,
mm-hmm.
Is good. As soon as possible. And then I think a goal of, you know, a goal of saving 10% on top of that. But it kind of depends on what your goals are and
right.
whether your income allows for it.
Yeah.
For some people, you know, that's why I think BTC is wonderful.
So we talked about getting started with a budget, finding those things that you enjoy that are non-negotiables. But how do you think students can get motivated to actually start budgeting or managing their money?
There's a couple things about getting the habit of savings. I think one is just creating the habit. So starting small is just fine. You know, if that's all you can do right now is start, that it's less about the amount you save and more about getting in a habit.
Yeah.
A lot of good finances is just about creating positive habits. The other thing you can do is make it automatic. That's been shown time and time again that if you can make an automatic transfer, there's a term, and it's kind of a weird term, but they call it pay yourself first, which is if I get my paycheck, the first thing I do with my paycheck is if I've determined, okay, I'm going to save $20 a month or $20 a paycheck, you transfer that money the moment you get that paycheck and you put it into an account that's maybe out of sight, out of mind, right? And if all the better if you can make it automatic, because if you leave it to your own devices, you might not get to it. But so you transfer that money, you pay yourself first for that future savings, and then you just operate on your budget for the rest of your month, and you don't have to worry about savings, right? So it's kind of pulling off a Band-Aid method. So pay yourself first is really good advice. Always, it's been around for a long time, but good advice. Making it automatic is really good advice, so you don't have to remember to do it. And giving yourself, I think any time with finances, there's a little bit of fear involved. Giving yourself permission to take small steps and have that be enough for the moment is good. So if it's $5, okay, great. That's a good goal. And then maybe you'll be like, okay, that wasn't that bad. Or maybe it's I need to maybe just you're only you want to intentionally take on your whole budget, but at first you're just going to open up your credit card bills and you're going to look at their interest rates and write them down. And then give yourself permission for that to be okay for right now. Over a while, you'll gain some momentum, and you'll probably take on the other stuff. But at first, it's kind of emotionally nice just to give yourself permission to take small steps. I think that's really important to habit changing, is to make it as incremental as possible.
So if you had a personal definition of financial independence, what would that be?
Well, yeah, personal definition. I mean, it's such a... let me think. I guess... I would kind of come from it, I depersonalize it, so I guess mm-hmm. maybe, if let me depersonalize it. If you want me to try to repersonalize it, I can. So depersonalizing it is that I think sometimes as a society we think, when you say financial independence, I never have to work a day in my life. Scaling back from that, like that's complete financial independence. Scaling back from that to a more realistic probably for 99% of us, perspective of financial independence. I think it's, you know, to a varying degree, an ability to leave a job for another job that you like. You feel like you have some independence and you can do that. Ability to leave a partnership that's no longer working because you're not so in dire straits that you financially, for financial reasons, you need to stay together. So that would be financial independence. I think that's having a grasp on your finances, so you know what's going on, so you can freely enjoy the discretionary, the free money you have. If you're constantly worried about, can I really spend this money? You know, is this okay to buy a new pair of shoes? Then I think you're not that independent. You are concerned about the fact if you can really afford it. What a budget gives you is, I can afford this. I know I can because I'm meeting my other obligations and I get to enjoy a new pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. And so I think that goes along with financial independence. And so it's just a greater sense. Money can be a tool for a greater sense of independence and freedom, and hopefully you use it in that way and not a opportunity to feel obligated and indebted.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for students who are interested in learning more, are there any free or affordable financial literacy resources in the community that you can recommend?
Yeah, I mean, the Whatcom Asset Building Coalition, they've got a really good website. I think it's just, is it WABC.org? WhatcomABC.org, yeah. And that's a really good budget. They do their very best to explain things in really understandable terms. We at WeQ do seminars that are open to the public. Usually it's in the spring or fall. And so that's a freely available resource. The Whatcom Dream is a really interesting nonprofit. The executive director there, Trudy, does a really convincing and good job of explaining how growing up in poverty kind of changes your whole interpretation of money. And so that'd be really, I think, it was really illuminating for me, for somebody grew up in middle class, to see that. And then, we live in the YouTube and internet age. I think Google usually gives you pretty good search results. Mm-hmm. If you ask specific questions, you know, you just got to go out and look for it and be somewhat discerning, or like, you know, is this seem like a reliable source? Does it seem, if in finances, if it seems it's too good to be true, it probably is. There are some, we're lucky to live in an age that a lot of things are a fingertip away, and you can just, you know, do some self-taught stuff as well.
And the Whatcom Dream, I found out, offers a 10-week financial literacy course. If you're interested in that, the website is thewhatcomdream.org. Reed, is there anything else you wanted to add about the topic of budgeting, especially for any students out there? We've obviously covered quite a bit.
Yeah, we have covered quite a bit. I would just say start small and do something. Mm-hmm. And start where you are. You know, what can you do today to better your financial situation, big or small, whether that's tracking your expenses for a week or a month, whether that's opening a bill, whether that's deciding to pull your credit report. Do something, because it tends to lead to other stuff, and the fear subsides step by step as you just start doing stuff, and it's really it'll be empowering the more you do it. So do something.
There you go. All right, my thanks to Reed Frederick from WeQ for being here, and thanks for listening to this episode of the BTC Money Smarts podcast. Be sure to check out all our episodes on the BTC website. They are loaded with stories, tips, tricks, and strategies for financial literacy. This podcast is produced by Cheryl Kennedy with music courtesy of bensound.com. I'm Matt Benoit. We'll see you next time.